Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Davis steps under center. Gibson and McClendon behind him. Davis with motion by Richard. Will give the ball to McClendon. He leaps. Oh, he doesn't get in. He fumbled the football. Carolina holds. The game is over. And Carolina has won the game.
Finley to throw. Over the middle. Intercepted. Wolfolk again. Wolfolk the other way. At the 30. The 40. Wolfolk to midfield. Miles Wolfolk with the pick. The heels on the doorstep of an enormous victory.
Left side of the line. Hood standing to Williams is right. Williams gonna throw. One-on-one. Davis has it. Touchdown. Carolina wins. Carolina is the Coastal Division champion. Bernard fields it at the 26. Heading to the far side. Gio at the 35. Gio, he's at the 50. No, he's not. Yes, he is. Gio, he's gonna take it for a touchdown.
Connor Barth for the possible win. Snap, spot, kick away, high enough, long enough. It's good! It's good! Carolina has won the game on a 42-yard field goal by freshman Connor Barth. Good gosh, dirty!
This is the Heel Tough Blog.
Hey guys, and welcome in to this edition of the Heel Tough Blog Podcast. It's Anthony Pagnotta with you guys as always, and today we welcome back one of our friends of the show. It's been a while since he's been on with us, actually all the way back to last February you have to go. It's Bill Bender of the Sporting News. So Bill, the last time we talked to you, man, we were in ignorant bliss. We had no idea what was laying on the other side of us just a month later. So how have you been dealing with everything that's been going on with COVID-19? How's the family doing and everything like that during this these crazy times that we're having here?
We like everybody else, it was a long year. It was a challenge. It's been a challenging year. You know, when you have two kids and you have to explain to them how it's not fair to them, but they've actually probably adjusted better than me. You know, they wear a mask to school. They have been able to play some extracurricular activities, and we're making the best of it we can, like everybody else. And to use a, you know, kind of the college football cliche, and Max probably used this a couple times, you literally got to take it one day at a time.
Yeah, you're right about that, and that's great to hear that they've been able to adjust and still been able to do some things that, you know, we all did when we were kids as well, even during these times. So, yeah, you know, look, this college football season was not easy. This was a season that a lot of people at one time were pretty much betting against, but it ends up happening, and, you know, the Tar Heels did, you know, about as good of a job as anybody in the country when it came to taking care of themselves, keeping the guys on the field. The Tar Heels missed just one game this season, and that wasn't because of them. That was an outbreak within the Charlotte 49er program that led to a cancellation of a game. But, you know, this Tar Heel team, I think everybody sees this season not only as a success on the field, but a success in the fact that they were able to get through COVID-19 relatively unscathed. But, you know, when I ask Tar Heel fans, they definitely see an 8-4 season going to the Orange Bowl as a successful season. When you look at it from a national perspective, do you think that this is considered a positive, successful season for Tar Heel football?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the offense averaged over 40 points per game. I think that's a baseline for competing at the highest level now. I think they showed up in the Orange Bowl without some key players. Mac Brown's established a winning culture in a hurry. You know, I know we're going to talk about Sam Howell, but I mean, part of that too was having two 1,000-yard running backs, having a defense that should get better. I talked to, you know, some people around the Carolina program, and they think Chaz Surratt actually had a better year this year than last year. It just maybe didn't show up in the stats. So I think they've built what he had late in his first tenure at North Carolina, and that was a program that is going to develop NFL talent, is going to have success on the field. I still think they're in position, assuming Notre Dame stays out of the ACC, to be the program best suited to challenge Clemson over the next few seasons.
Right, and that's what we think is going to happen. You never really know at this point with Notre Dame. They seem to be a little unpredictable. But, yeah, I mean, you're talking about that offense, and, you know, we'll get to Sam Howell in just a second. But I want to talk about the running backs, because this year for them was just – I don't think anybody quite saw this coming. I think we knew that both of these guys were dynamic. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy in Michael Carter that led the ACC in rushing, and we're talking about a conference that had some of the nation's top running backs this year. Travis Etienne was still there. Khalil Herbert came in and looked fantastic at Virginia Tech. But Michael Carter led the conference in rushing. And then you had Javonte Williams, a guy who, you know, was up there for a while with some of the top running backs in the country in terms of rushing touchdowns and scrimmage touchdowns. Was right up there with Najee Harris of Alabama, as well as Breece Hall of Iowa State. And he just had a fantastic season, jumped onto a lot of radars for some of the NFL draft guys. When you look at that backfield, there was a time earlier in the season, I remember, where they were drawing comparisons to Reggie Bush and Lendell White. How dynamic of a backfield did the Tar Heels have this year, and how tough is that going to be to replace in the offseason?
Well, I mean, you got to find that. And I mean, obviously, there's some names out there on their depth chart now, you know, guys like British Brooks, Josh Henderson, you know, you got to recruit that position. But yeah, what those two did, Javonte and Michael, I mean, it was a tough choice for us. I mean, one of them, Javonte, was our second team athlete on our All-American team, and there was a legitimate case to put him on the first team over Travis Etienne. Michael Carter, you know, he was up for the Hornet Award and had a big year as well. I mean, that's really goes to show that they've developed the offensive line. Phil Longo has a fun scheme to play in, and it wasn't just the running backs. It was the receivers. It was the offensive line. It was the quarterback. And again, I mean, if anybody that watched Monday night, I think the baseline for building a national championship contender right now, and all you have to do is look at the score, is you have to have an offense that can put up 40 points every single week. Now, you also need a defense that gives up 25, 26 points per game, and I think that's the next stage for North Carolina, is to be a little more consistent. I like what Jay Bateman's done, don't get me wrong. They brought some players in on that side of the ball too. But, you know, that's where it caught him in a couple games this year. When you get in a shootout against any ACC team, things can happen. I mean, that's how 2-3-point losses happen.
Yeah, and I that's what happened a couple of times this season to Carolina against Florida State, against Virginia. That's an area that, again, they're looking to improve on. And, you know, it's also a really helpful when you have a guy like Sam Howell at quarterback. Just another dynamic season for him this year. 3,586 passing yards, 30 passing touchdowns, but also added a little bit on the ground as well. Found the end zone 5 times this year on the ground, and really helped the Tar Heels in the red zone this year. You know, when you look at Sam Howell, Bill, this guy is, I without a doubt at this point, is the best quarterback that's ever played for Carolina. He will probably have his name in the Ring of Honor as soon as they possibly can. And, you know, next year he comes in as a guy that's one of the Heisman favorites. Do you think right now, as we sit here and just off the top of your head, do you think that he's the best quarterback in the country coming back next year?
I mean, right now, probably, if I was making a list today, which I'll make one eventually, I mean, he will definitely be in that discussion as a top 5 quarterback, a top 3 quarterback, probably the first quarterback taken in 2022 NFL draft at this point. Now, things can change. I think Sam, anybody, you know, I've had a chance to talk to him a few times, and again, people around him, and it's the film junkie in him. You know what I mean? Like, he's always in the film room. He's always looking for details to get better. Again, these are cliches that don't really turn pages, but I think it's his work ethic, and it showed up. And he was healthier this year. So he put up numbers. He's efficient, makes good decisions with the football. And there's not much not to like, if that makes sense. I mean, he checks just about every box for a franchise quarterback. And the next step, again, will be seeing if he can lead North Carolina to something more in 2021.
Yeah, and I think he definitely has a chance. But as you mentioned, the defense is what has to be able to get him there. When you look at the defensive side of the ball, we saw late in the year in some of the games, even in the Orange Bowl, you saw it. But I think primarily when you look back at the game against against Notre Dame and Miami, you saw some really bright young stars, guys like Tony Grimes, guys like Jaquarius Conley that stepped up and really had big, big games and showed a lot that, you know, this future is about as bright as it gets when it comes to this defense. I mean, we're talking about defenses a couple of years ago with Larry Fedora that couldn't stop the run to save their life. So, you know, when you look at that side of the ball for Carolina, where do you think they need to improve the most to be able to become one of those defenses that can get them into the conversation of a team on the outside of the college football playoff?
You know, just again, like mentioning against those shootout type games, I mean, where anything can happen, you got to get a stop here or there. You mentioned losing Surratt. That's not going to be easy. They gave up about, I think, a little over 4 yards per carry on a defense, 154 yards. I mean, when you give up more than 400 yards of total offense in a game, I mean, you're going to have some issues. So I think it's just cutting down the number of possessions for other teams, getting off the field a little bit sooner, third down percentage. I mean, those are all things that Jay Bateman will undoubtedly emphasize in the offseason. Now, you probably answer this because I haven't seen. So Fox is coming back, right? The linebacker?
Yes, Tamon Fox is coming back next year, as well as Tyrone Hopper, who played opposite of him for most of the year.
So that's a good start. You get a guy like that to build the defense around. And then Grimes is obviously a highly recruited player. And then they're bringing in another loaded recruiting class. I mean, that's something that you're going to have freshmen with 4 and 5 stars that play immediately. And that can work both ways. Clemson had some guys that are super talented freshmen on the field early, and they had ups and downs. And when you play young guys like that, that's kind of the deal, on especially on defense. Freshmen might get beat up a little bit, but then they grow into be really good players. And I think that's probably what they're going to have to do again in 2021.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, there's a chance that some of these guys can come in and really succeed. You know, Tar Heel fans know the names. And, you know, for, you know, Chaz Surratt being gone, I think, you know, the other thing that we saw in the bowl game that was really, really encouraging was Eugene Asante looks like he can be a guy that can be productive in the middle of that defense. He also has the ability to get out and cover. So we'll see how interesting or what type of, you know, ability he's able to show in whatever role they use him in next year. So we'll, you know, last thing I'll ask you before we get you out of here, 2021 is looked at as a pretty big year for Carolina. You know, this is probably, as you mentioned, with him possibly being the number one quarterback on the 2022 draft boards, this is probably the last year of Sam Howell in Chapel Hill. And it feels like this is a guy that is, you know, has one of the best careers of anybody to play for Carolina. And you really don't want it to go to waste. You know, when you look at this team in 21, you guys have them 14th in your way too early top 25. Do you think that this is a team that if enough things were to go right and the schedule looks like it's stacking up to give them an opportunity, do you think that they are a team that has the pieces to be able to challenge for a chance to play in the college football playoff next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think two kind of party crashers, I would call them, that I'm watching, they're one, you know, because of Powell, because of the offense, because we've seen them challenge Clemson on the field. And now the schedule, again, the Notre Dame game, playing Miami, playing Notre Dame, still got to win the Coastal, and those are things that will definitely pop up through the season. I think the big thing for North Carolina, I've said this for 2 years, is now that you've had success, Mac's got to preach every week success. You can't have that. That's the difference with Clemson, Ohio State, Bama. They have success every week, and they've got more talent than everybody else to do it. But North Carolina's one, and the other is Iowa State program that had everybody come back. They've got a good quarterback in Brock Purdy, too. They've got a good running back. Their tight end came back, and it's about taking that run at Oklahoma. So they're kind of the two teams outside of the so-called every-year powers that I'm watching the most closely.
Well, I think you're going to excite a lot of people going forward here for the next couple of weeks after they listen to this edition of the podcast, Bill. But we greatly appreciate you stopping by, man. We always love having you on. You're one of the favorites of the show, man. We're so glad that we can call you a friend of the podcast. So just tell people where they can check your stuff out, where they can follow you on Twitter, everything like that, man.
Yeah, I'm at BillBender92 at SportingNews.com, and thank you for having me on. I'm always excited to talk about North Carolina. They're a program that's been good to me. Mac's been good to me. And you, as a fan, you know, take off the journalist hat for a second. When you have a nice guy like that, you tend to root for him a little bit.
All right. Hey, man, thank you so much. We really appreciate it, man. I love reading everything that you guys have over there at the Sporting News, especially your stuff, man. Got to always check out anything that Bill Bender puts out. So make sure you guys are keeping an eye on that. He should have some really great stuff in the offseason, and it will have a lot of Carolina flavor throughout. So, hey, man, take care. We'll definitely talk to you again before the season when we find out a little bit more about this Carolina team find out a little bit more about the opponents that they're going to be facing. But it should be a very exciting offseason for Carolina and throughout college football. So take care, stay healthy during this time, and we'll talk to you then. All right, man?
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. That is Bill Bender of the Sporting News stopping by with us. And as you heard, there are a lot of expectations for the Tar Heels as we go into the offseason of 2021. A lot of guys that are coming back. A couple of guys that aren't coming back, though, have found their transfer destinations. You got two Tar Heels that are going to Temple University, former Tar Heels, I should say. Defensive lineman Zach Gill, who's played a little bit of a role at defensive tackle, a little bit of a role at defensive end. He's going to go play there. Former four-star standout from Wake Forest High School, so you feel like he's a guy that can go there and potentially have success. Same thing with Lancine Touré. He is going to join Zach Gill there. Another defensive lineman, typically a defensive end. Really didn't see a whole lot of action in his career at Carolina, but both guys will head on to Temple and try to finish out their careers with a bang there. Meanwhile, a guy that did see a lot of action, our 2020 Comeback Player of the Year on the podcast, Patrice Rene, he has found his transfer destination. He is going to play for Rutgers. That is the school he was originally committed to before he decommitted and eventually committed to Carolina to play the first 5 years of his college career. He'll now go on to Rutgers to finish out his final year of eligibility with Greg Schiano and the Scarlet Knights. The Tar Heels, they dipped into the transfer portal as well, and we are expecting to have a guest on later this evening to try to tell us a little bit about running back Ty Chandler. The Tar Heels going out, finding a great addition for their backfield. This is a guy that was extremely productive, nearly 4,000 yards of all-purpose yardage while he was at Tennessee. A guy that was extremely productive, would come in as one of the most experienced and productive backs in the ACC immediately when he joins the conference. So Carolina, this is a team that's showing that they are committed to winning now. This is not a team that's, going to let a position group dip. They're going to bring in a talented guy like this, and one of two things could happen. Either he could really take off, have a great senior year, be extremely productive, help this Tar Heel team out, or at the least, he's going to come in there and at least bring some competition to that backfield, try to motivate that group of young guys that they have back there. This is a really, really good move for Carolina. That was the biggest concern probably of the entire offseason. I think a lot of people were really, really confident that the Tar Heels were going to be able to find something at wide receiver to replace De'Ami Brown and Daz Newsome's production. Maybe not kind of fit the mold that they are, but you still feel confident in guys like Choffrey Brown, guys like Josh Downs that can come in and have some success. But this is a big one to get him, and we're going to talk hopefully to a member, a guy that covers the Volunteers in depth, and find out a little bit more about what exactly Ty Chandler is bringing to the table. So make sure that you guys keep an eye out for that here over the next couple of days. I think it should be out sometime either early tomorrow, may even be able to sneak it up late tonight, but we'll have to just wait and see on that. And trying to think if there's any other major news that we really need to get out there that I'm just blanking on. I think that's really it for right now. One thing that we do want to say is congratulations to Harris Barton, the former offensive tackle for the Tar Heels back in the mid-80s. He is officially inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. He was one of 13 people that were selected on this year's inductee list. So congratulations to Harris. What a just great career for him, not only on the field with the Tar Heels and with the San Francisco 49ers, but also after he got off the field. So congratulations to him. He becomes the 9th Tar Heel to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, the 6th player joining Dre Bly, Charlie Choo-Choo Justice, William Fuller, and a couple of other guys from the older days that maybe you guys aren't as familiar with, but still extremely, extremely worthy Tar Heels to go into the College Football Hall of Fame in both Art Wiener and then another guy that you should know, Don McCauley, as well as head coaches Jim Tatum, Carl Snavely, and of course, the guy that is in place right now, Mac Brown. So that wraps it up for this edition of the podcast. Make sure you guys head over to the website, heeltoughblog.com. You guys can check out all the great stuff that we have up there. We're in the off season for football, but believe it or not, we're still churning away. We're still putting out a ton of articles. We've had, of course, a ton of transfer news here, whether it's been guys entering the transfer portal, the Tar Heels bringing in guys from the transfer portal. So make sure you guys go and check that out. We got a great article up there on the website about Ty Chandler. We'll tell you what, you know, from watching his film, from seeing his production, what we think he's going to bring to the table for the Tar Heels this upcoming season in that backfield, as well as, you know, we got a couple other really good articles up there for the end of the season. We've got, of course, the final grades. That's something that we do every single year, so make sure you guys check that out. The stock report is something that is going to be valid throughout the entire offseason, the stock report that we had after the bowl game, because there are some guys that are trending up that'll be heading into next year coming off of a real confidence booster, guys like Eugene Asante starting his first career game, playing extremely well. There's a couple other guys on there we're not going to tell you. We want you to go read the article, so make sure you go to the website and check that out, as well as all the great basketball coverage. Carolina basketball looking like maybe, just maybe, it's rounding into form. 3 straight wins in the ACC, a big win the other night against a team that, you know, at least is middle of the road in the ACC, at least will be competing to make the NCAA tournament in Syracuse. So Carolina gaining a little bit of confidence, and we have you covered on that front. And then, of course, guess what's right around the corner, guys? Baseball season. Last year, we started a little bit of baseball coverage, but unfortunately, COVID-19 hit. This year, we're going to still bring you some light baseball coverage. It's not going to be as in-depth as the other sports, but still, we're going to have some pretty good baseball coverage for you guys on the Heel Tough Blog website, so make sure that you guys are keeping an eye out for that, heeltoughblog.com. The other great way to check out all of that is on the Facebook page, Heel Tough Blog on Facebook. Make sure you like and follow the Facebook page, and that also works for the podcast, because when you do that, it's going to update you whenever we put out a new video. It'll give you the notification that we are going to premiere a video at a certain time, and it'll actually tell you also when it goes live. You guys can click in, listen, or watch your latest edition of the Heel Tough Vlog podcast. And then, you know, for the people that listen to the podcast exclusively, wherever you listen to it, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, wherever, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. The rating and reviewing helps move us up some of those leaderboards when it comes to North Carolina Tar Heel podcast. Whenever people search that, it'll help people find the podcast a little bit more easily that maybe haven't been able to find it just yet. And a subscribe, that's for you, because it goes right into your podcast library whenever we put out a new edition of the show. So whenever that new edition where we break down, you know, what to expect from Ty Chandler, whenever we talk to Jones Angel, that's coming up actually tomorrow. Make sure that you guys are keeping an eye out for that. Jones will be stopping by with us as well. That'll probably go up on Saturday. All that stuff will go right into your podcast library so that you don't miss it the minute that it is available. So we want to thank Bill Bender for stopping by with us. We want to thank you guys for watching and listening. And as always, go Tar Heels!